Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Pre-market takes a breather after Wednesday's record highs. Morgan Stanley buying E-Trade for $13 billion. And Clarida says the economy is strong. Europe's down slightly. Philly Fed prints its best beat ever, best number since 2017. Our roadmap begins with a massive deal. Morgan Stanley buying E-Trade for $13 billion, reshaping the storied investment bank. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman will join us in the next hour.
And Viacom CBS, it does miss forecasts. It's its first earnings report since its mega merger. It also increases projection of how much the combination will save in expenses. And most importantly is the guidance, which we'll get into as well.
Plus, done deal. Les Wexner giving up control of Victoria's Secret, selling a 55% stake to Sycamore and stepping down after 57 years as CEO of Parent L Brands. Shares are down on that news. We'll start, though, with the deal of the day. Morgan Stanley agreeing to acquire E-Trade in an all-stock transaction valued at $13 billion, $58.74 a share. It comes 3 months after Schwab and TD Ameritrade announced their own merger deal. A lot of discussion about why not Robinhood and what this means for the sort of the framing of their wealth management business.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of amazing. The most recent stuff, they had about 5 million accounts, maybe a little more. Robinhood got 10 million accounts in kind of no time. They were like land speed record for accounts. I think that this, their success is driving everything. They have the millennials. They have a different orientation. They have the easiest site to use. They're all handheld, and they're racking up customers. When I've had Robinhood on a couple times, they're the biggest threat to an industry I've ever seen. I mean, you know, we talk about disruptors on our network. They turned out to be the biggest disruptor. The idea of Morgan Stanley, I remember, you guys remember when E-Trade started? And it was like, you know, they would have commercials.
Yeah, it's been around a long time, E-Trade.
Right, but the commercials were basically saying, you know, don't ever affiliate with an outfit like, and it would be without naming Morgan Stanley. And these are as strange bedfellows as you're going to get, even more than what I think Goldman's doing.
Yeah, it is seemingly on the face of it sort of an interesting and not unexpected, because frankly, since Ameritrade Schwab, people have been talking about the possibility of this very deal.
Right.
And certainly there were those who were talking about Morgan Stanley having been there, and they were. In fact, you know, people tell me they were talking as early as early January. They began their discussions. Ending in, of course, the announcement this morning of the transaction. All stock as well, as we should point out. You can see it is going to be impacted a bit by the decline in Morgan Stanley shares, though not a dramatic decline at this point. They are talking about it being accretive to EPS. They like a number of things here, though. First of all, almost everybody has a Morgan Stanley account, they tell me, and then they have an Away account, oftentimes an E-Trade account. Maybe it's Ameritrade or something. I don't know. You know, and that it's the assets that are away, so to speak, from the firm that are held away that they want to try to consolidate. And we all know how much these companies can make on the float, on just the money that is sitting there on deposit, so to speak, that can be used. That's certainly partially Goldman's strategy with giving a very high return on the Marcus product that they are offering people as well. But here, they like the stock plan business also at E-Trade, which has been a very strong generator of profits over time and is fairly steady in terms of running, administering these stock plans for various corporations. And they like the merger of those two businesses as well, guys. So, you know, all stock, as we noted.
Right.
They can't, given CCAR, given the regulations that they are under and the from the Fed, really go to big cash deals, because that would hinder their ability to return cash in the form of share buybacks. So that is another reason. But apparently E-Trade wanted wanted an all-stock deal.
Well, I mean, go back to when Schwab bought Ameritrade. People expected that the next thing would happen would be E-Trade, and then there became a narrative, which was E-Trade's not doing well enough for anybody to buy. They're just not growing. I think that if you're Gorman, you can consolidate. I guess some people would say fire a great number of people, but it is incredible to see a franchise like E-Trade that people didn't think was worth that much after a second look, after Ameritrade was bought. And then why does Gorman come and do that, even though people were passing up on it initially? And I think the answer is that Robinhood made it so that E-Trade had no choice.
You mean Robinhood or the move to zero commissions, period?
Well, Robinhood being, yeah, the,
being the catalyst out,
the,
for all of that.
Yes, being out, being
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you jump ahead sometimes with that. You got to explain to people why. Like, Robinhood is this unicorn.
What do you think
unicorn.
I use TurboTax?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, you
well,
don't. Yours is thousands
I
of
like
pages
TurboTax.
Long.
No, I use TurboTax.
My God, just the properties
but
alone that you're dealing
stop.
With and international borders having to do, I mean, different tax jurisdictions.
I don't
jurisdictions.
Have to take this. I'm not running
the
for president.
The Italians are
I'm not running for
you.
President. I don't have to take this.
The olives.
He does this to me, but why does he hurt me? Okay, the thing that sticks out about Robinhood is that they wrecked how you make money. I mean, you just... They wrecked it.
But this does change the profile of Morgan Stanley to a certain extent. You're talking about its pre-tax profit by segment now going to be 57% combined wealth management and investment management, as opposed to a currently roughly equal split between those and institutional securities.
Wow.
So
all
it
right.
does weigh it more towards wealth management, which is obviously the Smith Barney deal was the most important deal they've done until this one.
And he aligns that. You really just kind of.
And that's all Gorman.
Yeah. Mentions that. I mean, I think Gorman doesn't want to be left behind in this asset grab. It's the last. Who else is there that's a chunk of assets?
Right. It's a big chunk.
It's
right?
a big chunk. Yeah, but how about the fact chunk. That they had so little growth in
well,
E-Trade?
It's $360 billion of retail assets added to what they've already got there.
Yeah. To that point, a lot of people talking about Gorman's legacy as a deal maker after Smith Barney and this decade-long turnaround. We talked to him about acquisitions at this desk back in December.
We always look at strategic stuff. That's what you're supposed to do. But we don't do it based upon a point in time pricing transaction. We make our strategic choices based on where we want the company to be, you know, 10, 20 years from now. That's why we bought Smith Barney back in 2009. We believed the wealth management space was compelling. We wanted scale. We moved quickly.
Are you an admirer of E-Trade's corporate stock plan business?
They have a very good stock plan business. Yeah, they do. And they've done a very nice job with that.
That's the business that I
yes,
was referencing,
absolutely.
Which they seem very excited about discussing as well in terms of the benefits of the deal.
Okay, so let's put ourselves in Gorman's shoes. Why couldn't we get those accounts ourselves? Why couldn't we set up some sort of second operation that gets those? I say that because isn't that what Goldman's done?
Well, they're not there yet.
No, they're not.
No, not at all. I mean, I think, listen,
this is
people who are, you know, well, who have an advisor at Morgan Stanley who's dealing with them on some of the bigger or any of the other full service places is dealing with issues dealing with your estate and all the and taxes and how you approach that. But on the side, this is where I can sort of do some trading.
So we're just gonna
and I know I'm not really going to have to pay for it, and I can just do it. And I don't have to deal with anybody and talk to anybody and explain what I'm thinking and whatever. I
How
can just do
the,
it.
The fact that the consolidation is going to the point where there really aren't that many brokers.
Right.
There's not that much choice. No.
Although in financial services at large, BB&T SunTrust.
Right.
This week, Legg Mason Franklin.
Yes.
Right. Some stuff in Italy. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yes, it is. And I think that the group, someone's going to say the margins are going up and it's time to buy the group. Because the group still has an incredibly low multiple. I would point out that if I were Gorman, I would be very frustrated. They reported the best quarter in the brokerage segment. And what did the stock do? Nothing.
Right.
So why not buy this company? If you report, I mean, I speak to a lot of people there. We're all trying to make a bet of how high the stock would go. No one thought it would do nothing. Up
yeah.
a dollar.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? To do the have the best.
Yeah,
number.
They had a good quarter.
Yeah, really good quarter.
Meanwhile, Gorman's not going anywhere, so it's going to be his to deal with and his to focus on for years to come,
okay.
most likely. You know, that's
if it weren't a look at it.
It's not his legacy. At
I mean,
this point. It's not the last thing that's going to happen under the Gorman administration.
Are you surprised that it's actually knocked down more?
Yeah, a little bit.
I am too.
A little bit.
It's a good deal.
A little bit.
I mean, this stock is back to where it was. Still a dollar above. It's kind of where it was when it reported. What an incredible industry that the multiple just keeps shrinking no matter what you do. I mean, Goldman has tried.
Oh, you mean you're talking about Viacom? Oh, no, sorry. We'll talk about that later.
You know what? You didn't eviscerate Backish enough. You held back, and that was a shame.
No.
Backish being the
By the
CEO.
Way, both calls are going on. Viacom call started at 8:30. Also, this call at 8:30 as well, the Morgan Stanley one. So we'll share anything we hear about that.
My charitable trust and full disclosure is Viacom.
We'll,
and so therefore, you should take
be
my
hearing
head
from
and
Gorman.
Put it on a pike.
Yeah. Who?
You should have me take part in a Democratic primary.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Freaked you out last night, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Are we playing a bias there? Are we showing our bias?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you are a dollar sign masquerading as a human being.
I'm also the most sincerely insincere man in North America.
That's true.
So what's the point? But I wow. Okay. We are going to talk about Viacom because it's...
We will.
We will.
It's a disaster.
A lot of names to get to. 10 minutes in, we have not yet mentioned the coronavirus, and we are on track to open lower. As we get more headlines regarding the virus, the lowest number of new cases in Hubei since January 25th. We did get warnings from Tenneco, Maersk, Foxconn, and Norwegian today, which is canceling all Asia voyages through Q3.
Right, and the Chinese changed their... They changed the way they compute the viruses every day. I've been looking at, there's a great CDC paper from June of last year, which talks about as you get older, there's just a really great chance that you're going to, much more chance that you're going to die from not novel virus, but regular virus. This is obviously, any time that you conflate the two, you get immediate heat. But let's just say this one's much easier to catch, okay? It's spreading like wildfire in some places. There's also a CDC site about cruises and how easy it is to catch something on a cruise. So I think Norwegian's doing the right thing. But the bottom line is that if you're 75 to 85, there's a good chance that you're going to, a higher chance you're going to die with no matter what flu you have. And I think people have to start respecting the fact that if you go out, you could catch it. And if you're older, you shouldn't go out.
Age is a variable. So is ability to access quality health care.
Yes.
And that is that's maybe the most important difference between China and the rest of the
world.
Exactly.
Bad public health system.
Shouldn't go out.
If you're 85, no. You shouldn't go out. What?
Outside.
You shouldn't do these where anybody congregates. There's no vaccine and there's no antiviral. So what should you do? Just like, hey, let's just like
rule out half the people on the stage last night.
So you're not going to school, you're not going to work, you're not going to IMAX theaters, I assume.
If you're 85, if you have more than a 5% chance of dying from something in the medical community, that's it. They say, no, you shouldn't do it. Here you've got about a 14% chance. So why are you taking a cruise? We know from the CDC that cruises are incubators. Why would you take a cruise?
I wouldn't.
Why would you fly?
Because I need to go somewhere.
If you're 85, you have to go somewhere until this is over?
We're talking just 85.
No, you'll just get the flu. There's a good chance you get the flu.
I'm just going to be sitting home doing absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
Very depressed about.
Have a Domino's pizza for heaven's sake. Look at those numbers.
Yeah, that's great.
Just order Domino's pizza.
How about I just live large and not worry about it because I'm already 85 and I want to live my life, what's little is left of it. How about that?
Well, you have a death wish? What the hell is he talking about?
Meantime, as far as the market goes, all the macro desks are still trying to quantify. I mean, J.P. Morgan, I saw charts on coal consumption, travel, air quality, all these different metrics. Goldman has a quote, as you know by now, equity markets are increasingly exposed to near-term downward surprises in earnings growth. A near-term correction is looking much more probable. Do we agree with this?
Well, after yesterday's craziness of the Virgin Galactic and the Plug Power and the Ballard, and some of these solar plays. I think that typically is not, that typically is late stage move. Those moves were amazing. They were breathtaking. I don't know if you caught the Virgin Galactic move, but
I saw what Morgan Stanley said today deserves a bit of a breather here.
A breather? Wasn't that something? I saw AMD, someone said there should be a breather.
Wells cuts to equal weight.
I mean, I got a lot of breathers. I mean, people are taking breathers. They're breathing. They're stopping the breathing. But the Virgin Galactic is selling at a level. They're using 2030 revenue numbers. I don't know. Is that the way you should look at?
No.
Do you like that?
No.
You don't, right?
Another one that's reminiscent in a weird way of the late 90s.
Well, that's what I felt.
But it's still not that large a market cap.
No, but it's just I'm saying, let's have a breather.
But that guy Chamath is going to be really happy.
Take a breather.
Has he been selling stock yet?
Taking a breather.
A reminder, do not miss our ongoing special report on the coronavirus outbreak. Happens every night at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on CNBC. Still to come, as we said, Morgan Stanley's Gorman on the $13 billion deal to buy E-Trade. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash. Bunch of movers in the pre-market. Six Flags down 18%. Domino's up 18%. There's futures and Squawk on the Street's back in a moment.
All right, we got 12 minutes before we get started with an open here at the New York Stock Exchange. Domino's, you want to talk about why?
David, the stay-at-home economy. This is my new thing. I love this. Stay-at-home guy. These guys reported a number. Oh. Now, look, they only reported 3.4% increase same-store sales, but people were looking at 2.1. Why were they looking for 2.1? Because the aggregators, the delivery people, there was this notion that the wampum that the DoorDashes play with and Postmates play with is wiping out the traditional delivery system. Au contraire, Domino's was underestimated. Rich Allison was underestimated. This stock is breaking out. They are really going to be able to tell a good story tonight when they are on Mad Money. And I, what?
You're not kidding.
Well, David, they weren't destroyed by DoorDash. They weren't destroyed by Grubhub. No way. And remember, people are staying at home.
They are?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, if you're over 85, that's what you do.
They cut the cord.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know that. In fact,
that we know
funny.
That
we didn't get to.
We know
the
that from the assassination.
That we have, but yes,
the assassination of Viacom. They cut the cord. All right. They order in. They have a dynamite time. Now we know that they drink Truly, except for it's costing Boston Beer too much to make Truly because there's such demand. Maybe they have edibles.
How did people? How did this?
Because they kept missing. Because they complained on Mad Money. Right here, that the aggregators are hurting them. Well, that's no longer the case.
So what did they do differently?
They basically, I would say, kept doing exactly what they did, and the other guys are full.
They had that advertising campaign where they showed people very upset about getting a delivery wrong, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, but now that's on you
right.
to use the app. By the way, have the banana peppers when you order the pizza. Have you ever ordered a Domino's?
Never. Not once.
Because
I live in this place.
You are so frustrating.
Which has these great pizza places all over the place.
David, I can order no cheese and have a tomato pie like I'm from Philly.
I'm sorry.
You.
My local business.
Anyway, Domino's outlasted the aggregators. And it's really terrific. They're great guys. Remember, most of those stores are owned by people who are delivery people.
Got it. All right. And Rich Allison coming up on Mad Money tonight. By the way, coming up right here, Morgan Stanley CEO. His name is James Gorman. Been doing the job a long time. He's going to be doing it for a lot longer and going to be talking about the biggest deal he's done. $13 billion in stock for E-Trade. Squawk on the Street coming right back.
Here's a look at futures. Many silos of news to look at today. The Democratic debate last night, M&A in the financial space, the number of coronavirus cases continues to moderate. The opening bell is coming up in 7 minutes. And as a reminder, you can always watch us live on the go on the CNBC app. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. Opening bell in 3.5 minutes on a very busy Thursday morning. Watching the coronavirus headlines come in. Clarida, by the way, with Steve Leisman just in the past half hour, the vice chair of the Fed, says the markets may be overestimating the possibility of a rate cut this year. Futures contracts currently point to a rate cut as soon as June or July, about a 60% chance. In an interview with Leisman, he said an economist survey by Bloomberg shows the majority don't see the Fed easing this year. Interesting. He did say economy's in a good place, fundamentals strong. We could see business investment rebound on a day where Philly Fed comes in really strong.
Right. Well, I think that nobody has a I'd rather hear from Dr. Fauci than I would from Richard. And why? Because this is if people stop going out, if people stop going to the movies, they stop going on planes, they stop going to hotels, then it really doesn't matter what he says. And they got to stop this virus. And I'm not trying to panic people because, like I said earlier, the novel virus is just like the actual virus, except for the fact that it's so easy to contract. But they don't know. If this thing breaks out like they're afraid of in South Korea, then it doesn't matter what he says. So sometimes I look at these guys and I say, why wouldn't I have said, you know what, we have to see if this runs its course.
Well, that's sort of what the minutes pointed to, right?
Well, the minutes were actually very logical, but this thing hasn't run its course. Now, there are a lot of people. The big debate is, are factories opening away from the epicenter? the epicenter has some sort of weird, like, bomb went off area. That's, again, causing the conspiracy that it was a bio-terrorism facility and not the live market. But
which the World Health Organization tried to bury yesterday.
There's another new paper came out from Chinese doctors last night that says it is. I don't know. But all I can tell you is that if you have a crystal ball, I would like to have Fauci speak to the Fed, because there's a very good chance that the world could change radically if they can't contain this.
And how long do you think until you can rest on that point?
May. Yeah, I don't think April's a good enough, because Fauci doesn't give me the comfort that I wanted that the warm weather will end this thing, because it's too novel, so to speak. So I think that when you wake up and there's two deaths from a ship, that there's supposed to be no deaths. You come back and you say, well, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't travel. So I think that the Fed can say what it wants, but if they don't lick this thing, the Fed's going to have a little firepower like the Chinese do.
As you're saying that, P&G on the tape sees the quarter materially impacted by the virus.
Wow.
So just add that to Norwegian. Maersk was the big one, though, overnight. Big shipping giant.
Look, I think that Norwegian Cruise, what an outfit. They actually have bookings that are up year over year. But look, Procter, I mean, materially impacted by virus, that means it's more than... That could be. They have a big Chinese business, and their stock is up large. So, I mean,
the largest market for sales and profit is China.
Yeah, so what's Kimberly?
Not that we haven't been talking about this. When people are unable to leave their homes,
that's my point.
They tend not to buy things.
That's my point. Why?
And why the delivery guy can't get their Chinese orders on Alibaba.
I know, and this is not going to be one off. There's a lot of companies that have really made tremendous strides. I keep coming back to, look at the unreal nature of Nike. Nike is so close to its all-time high, and they could announce this.
There's the opening bell of the S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. And the big one today is Catalyst Oil, in celebration of their new listing, and at the NASDAQ, Option Care Health, a provider of home and alternate site infusion services. You guys did DPZ at the Telestrator.
Yes, fabulous.
On those comps and the div hike over there.
Yeah, and there was a big short squeeze there, too. A lot of people betting that Allison would so-called fail again. I think Allison is a very smart operator. It hurts from Pat Doyle. He's doing a good job, but 67 indicates that some people really thought he was going to miss big. Yeah. Sorry.
They haven't had negative comps since 2011, by the way. Meanwhile, Six Flags swings to a surprise loss, guides below, cuts the dividend, CFO leaves. What's left?
A lot of people felt it was going to be bad. It wasn't going to be this bad. That CFO, by the way, retired. He's 55 years old. So there's a guy who obviously wants to spend more time with his family. I don't know.
He's got 30 years to wait till he has to stay inside, according to you. So.
Well, no, please. I'm just saying
That's
what
good.
The odds are. But I do think that Six Flags have been down. Remember, Six Flags had this deal. It was supposed to happen with China. And when that didn't happen, that was the beginning of the end, Six Flags. Cedar Fair is a better option. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm looking at Viacom stock price. We should get to it. We should talk about Viacom CBS, because we need to try and explain what's going on here to people.
You know who Jack Tatum was?
Jack Tatum, the defensive
for the Raiders?
Back? Of course.
Remember
Call Me Assassin?
Remember his, it was one of the best books ever. They Call Me Assassin.
Yeah.
Viacom.
Yeah. He's the one who hit Daryl Stingley.
No, don't talk about that. That was incredibly sad. But I regard you as the Jack Tatum of Viacom.
Let's talk about Viacom. Take a look at the stock this morning. I've got it down about 12% right now. This after the company. Let's, I guess, start with the reported quarter, because that's where the story
starts. Oh, my God.
Now it's 13%. Total revenues, 7.092. That was a miss in terms of at least the analysts who follow the company consensus. Again, this is the fourth quarter numbers for 19. Adjusted operating income came in below. Operating income margin came in below. EPS came in well below. And free cash flow did. But, all right, let's move on. Let's move on to the guidance, because that's where a lot of investors are looking. And, by the way, it is interesting to note, as I talk about the guidance, how many value investors are in this stock. I'll come back to that in a minute. $1.2 billion in adjusted free cash flow for 2019. By the way, that did exclude a number of restructuring things and things having to do with the merger with CBS. $1.8 to $2 billion in free cash flow guidance is below what a lot of analysts were looking for. UBS, for example, at $2.5 billion. Other analysts up and around that. It depends, certainly, as you watch the stock just cratering right now. That does include the $2 billion, does include $500 million in additional costs for direct-to-consumer that they are starting to build out. Remember, they told us about their strategy in terms of CBS All Access and Pluto, a number of other things they're going to be doing. And so that's an additional cost. Now, you also do have content spend is going to flatten in 2020 in this year. They did have some rate resets last year as well, but that additional cost is in there. So they are seeing and talking about saying they have absolute line of sight to significant increase in free cash flow in 2021. They're talking about getting to as high as $2.5 billion in that year. So that is a significant percentage increase in free cash flow. That's where a lot of the value investors are focused right now, although they are having a horrible day. And when I talk about them, look at the shareholder list. Once you get past the index funds, you're talking about Baupost. You're talking about Glenview Capital Management. Kepri, this has become a value
Cramer Charitable Trust
today, Jim.
Well, I believed in a stock that sells at 5x earnings, that 2 + 2 would equal 5, CBS versus 5. I mean, all the mumbo jumbo that, and I believed in value. And
well, listen, we all know that the available audience, the available number of homes is going down, right? We talk about cord cutting all the time here. We look at the numbers. That is a simple fact that all the businesses in terms of the cable ecosystem are dealing with, including our own.
Right.
So that's part of it. By the way, upfront strong. A number of things on the advertising front seem to be strong for the company as well. And they are talking about sort of, you know, in terms of trying to positive advertising up 2%. They obviously
but
had
that's a full year. It wasn't the fourth quarter was bad for advertising.
And then you get to football in the NFL, which is going to be so vitally important for this company in terms of keeping it. Now, the contract's not up till 2022, but if you talk to people at Viacom, CBS, if you talk to people at Fox, they want to get this over with as quickly as possible, erase any doubts about their ability to actually have the NFL as a key centerpiece of their continued strategy. And you can imagine how important it is. It becomes even more important. What they're going to have to pay for that remains a concern of some investors. But, man, the value investors are in there, Jim. You have talked about that for some time, how cheap it is.
I did that. I was
wrong. But the free cash flow guidance is scaring people right now.
I know.
As much as they say that they are going to be able to see a line of sight to a significant increase in that free cash flow from 2020 until 2021.
Right, the obvious question is, can Shari Redstone really be satisfied with this chaos, this mockery of it?
I'll tell you something interesting, which is that investors are going to have an opportunity to ask her that very question because Ms. Redstone and Mr. Bakish are receiving a bunch of investors today, is my understanding, coming over to headquarters, and they're going to be sitting down with them. So they are meeting with investors today.
This is serious
Shari Redstone and Bob Bakish together.
This is serious
business. I'm told by a number of people. So they will face a potentially hostile audience at Viacom, CBS. I mean, the market cap on this thing now is moving to a level that it's bite size. It's truly bite size.
They're not an oil company.
No. They rank okay in ESG. So they got that going for them.
Very high in their statements. You know, David, this is all about a style of investing that is really kind of kaput right now. My Chapel Trust owns 29 stocks that are growth. I said, why not take one very low valued stock and bet that that valuation is incorrect?
Okay.
And it turned out not only was the valuation correct, but 2 + 2 = 3. How's that possible?
By the way, they are delivering on their synergy. In fact, they did increase their overall synergy. Remember, they got so much criticism. In fact, the stock started to suffer immediately after the announcement of the deal, in part because the synergy number came in far below what people had anticipated. It was $500 million. You do typically want to underpromise and overdeliver, and they are saying that here as well. They're now saying $750 million. Is the number that they'll have. $250 million of that will be realized in terms of the synergies this year.
They told us over and over again that there would be no problem making numbers that they talked about. Now, they can say, we never put out numbers, and this is just you're up against compares that you dreamed of on Wall Street, but look at the valuation of this thing. Look at what it's worth as an entity.
Right.
I think Shari Redstone has to say, you know what, I'm mad as hell, and I can't take it anymore, which actually, of course, was about TV.
It was.
Pat Andrzejewski. One quote that Bakish
even
gave on the call that got some attention. Our content strategy is not about spending more. right? So that's definitely zigging while others are zagging.
Well, Netflix is about spending more.
They're going to be flat on content spend this year. Now, the DTC part of it, they're not necessarily including in that, I guess, in terms of the half a billion they're going to be spending there to build that out.
It's just about Alphabet. It's just about Ruth Porat waking up today and saying, you know what? I'm going to own the NFL, and I've had it.
You know, when you're the NFL and you're Goodell and the owners, I'm not sure you want to. I'm not sure that's the platform you want to go with.
Well, that's what Bob
Backus
has said over and over again.
A lot
saying,
of ways.
Jim Nance,
Fox will
does a great job
too. By the
right,
way.
Yes, that Tony Romo does a great job. That we have the 18 cameras, it looks good, and that's what the NFL wants. The market doesn't believe that.
No, their investors are concerned that the guidance that they're talking about is not going to be realized, that they're not going to be able to realize those synergies, I guess, at this point, that the overall universe, of course, continues to decline, and they wonder about the relevancy of the content of this company in terms of dealing with those changes and whether their direct-to-consumer strategy is going to actually resonate. CBS All Access has been somewhat successful. Pluto free, ad-supported, very similar to what
somewhat
we're offering
successful.
Here in Peacock, somewhat successful.
Paramount, somewhat successful.
Yes, yes.
3% yield, add them all up.
Back,
and it's down 27%.
They're 100% focused on shareholder value creation. They're committed to providing the transparency.
Do you think it's right, or do you think they're like 73%?
Understand and track the value we're creating. And before I sign off, I want to thank the employees of Viacom who brought this company together in 3 months and who will power our exciting future.
Take the other side for a second. Name me three things that he's doing right. Two things. One thing.
That's not fair. Come on. I'm not going to name things. There are plenty of things that may be going right there.
Oh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I feel better.
In
I feel
a time,
better
you and I may sit one day at the Mad Dash and be like, whoa, look at that.
You mean like it's Domino's?
They delivered.
Look,
it's possible.
Do I think it's overdone? I think it's overdone, but the anger, the wall of shameness of this. Oh. You used to have a thing called the wall of shame, but it just hurt so many people's feelings. And I became much more Jimmy Chill. You know what? I'm thawed.
Oh, really?
For whom the bell tolls, it's for Backus.
Let's use that bell as a segue here. Last night's Democratic presidential debate in Las Vegas turned into a political slugfest, the most contentious yet, with one clear target. That was former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. In his debate debut, he was on defense all night, including why he hasn't released his tax returns. Take a listen.
Very briefly on transparency, Mayor Bloomberg, your campaign has said that you would eventually release your tax records when it comes to transparency. But people are already voting now. Why should Democratic voters have to wait?
It just takes us a long time. Unfortunately or fortunately.
Can I comment on that?
Fortunately, I make a lot of money. And we do business all around the world, and we are preparing it. The number of pages will probably be thousands of pages. I can't go to TurboTax. But I put out my tax return every year for 12 years in City Hall. We will put out this one. It tells everybody everything they need to know about every investments that I make and where the money goes. And the biggest item is all the money I give away. And we list that, every single donation I make. And you can get that from our foundation anytime you want.
Here's the cover of the New York Post, Black and Bloom. Jim, you were talking before the top of the hour about the Democrats celebrating people with less money rather than more.
Yeah, I mean, having been in many charities, he does not talk about it, having done work in charities, that he really is the reason why the charity exists. It is painful. He's never been willing to take the credit that I think he should. I gave a speech about what he's done for the Brooklyn, really just for the Brooklyn Historical Society. And he was almost, I think he was mortified that I talked about it, but I felt someone should say, this is a man who opens his checkbook for charity.
But even that's being framed as politically calculated.
I know, and it's just unfair. It's unfair for someone who tries to do as much charity, at least time. I could never equal him in money. It's just, wow. I mean, he's done so much good, and it just seems unfair to me, but...
So is the market happy to have Sanders, right now, at least on predicted markets, as the front runner for the nomination?
I think that the market's saying that it could be like George McGovern. You know, don't blame me. I'm from Vermont. I think that that's kind of in play. I do.
Where it's just a Republican sweep.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people feel, because we've never really nominated someone a socialist who has many communist views. It's never really been the way. You know, we had in 1948 this question.
I mean, I know he's a socialist, self-avowed, but communist? What do you mean?
Well, okay, so he doesn't believe that the state should own. I think to some degree he believes that the workers should own, which is Trotsky, okay? A Trotsky form of socialism is certainly where he could be. Now, that's not bad. I happened to have been a union leader one time, and I felt that Trotsky had game, and when I proceeded to really prosecute that, I was fired, which is a suboptimal conclusion. But, David, I think that you have to read through what Marx and Engels say, and, you know, he's certainly to the right of them, but he may be to the left of Trotsky.
Really? Okay.
Well, I mean, he wants to redistribute wealth and feels the wealth is outrageous that it's in the hands of the few. Now, Trotsky believed that, and so did Lenin, but Lenin was a mass murderer. But these are the things that Lenin's track of what is to be done, which really doesn't take long. You can read it while you're during the breaks, is about redistributing.
Right.
What is to be done is a great little handbook if you want to try to figure out the game plan.
Chesky wrote it first, and then Lenin came back and used the same title, right?
Well, To the Finland Station is another book that you
can read. Yes, you've told me. I've never read To the Finland Station.
It's very good. I mean, this is... Look, I'm not... I wish I were joking. I took 7 courses in communism because when I was at Harvard, the communists had made a kind of a coup of the faculty. But this is the stuff we learned. It's the stuff we learned.
Bloomberg was somehow very much unprepared for what was coming his way.
Well, the strategy has always been about Super Tuesday, which is still a little less than 2 weeks away. We'll see if that works out. Right now, Dow's down 28, mostly UNH. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Carl. Mixed overseas. Hong Kong is basically flat. Now, China reported the lowest number of new coronavirus cases in a long time, but there's plenty of warnings out there, including P&G, which remarkably is up here. All of these companies essentially saying that coronavirus is going to impact their first quarter results. Møller Maersk, the big shipping company, saying the same thing. Norwegian Cruise Line saying the same thing. Tenneco as well. They make auto parts. So you see a lot of impact here from many of these companies. But very modest responses from the overall stock market. Just take a look here. You think semiconductors down a little bit here. We did get a downgrade from AMD from Wells Fargo on valuation. But semis a little bit weak. Industrials are flat. Banks, despite the low yields, are fine. Energy's been a lot better recently. Oil around $54. That's been a big help. So energy stabilized, one of the few pieces of good news that we've had here. So the overall markets are pretty holding up very well, and yet even the safe haven plays are doing well. This is a very strange market. The dollar's at a 3-year high. Gold's at a 7-year high. Utilities essentially at record highs. Very strange to have markets at historic highs and the safe haven plays also really doing well. Elsewhere, if you just take a look at what they said over in China, I think it's important to note the lenders there cut the benchmark lending rate, the Chinese authorities there. There's obviously concerns growing about the impact on the Chinese economy, particularly that the bank loan losses, these are big state-owned banks, folks. The loan losses are going to get very big very quickly on this. Remember, a while ago, a little over a week ago, as I recall, S&P came out and said China's growth could drop to the 4-5% range if this goes on for several months. So again, we don't know what the impact is, but you can see what's happening. You can see the impact on Chinese banks already. They're already betting. And remember, these are largely state-owned banks, Bank of Xi'an, all the big banks here, industrial, commercial, there's a really big one, all down in the last month, close to double digits overall. If you take a look at today, and I know David has been talking a lot about Morgan Stanley and E-Trade, look at that here, very close to that number that they were getting there. That was 58, I think there was the offer for that. Morgan Stanley down a little bit. You want to watch Interactive Brokers, one of the few free standards that are out there, Gain Capital as well. They do online trading services. And there's other firms out there like LP Holdings. They do services for independent financial advisors. They're really big. Another firm people have been watching, their stock's been doing really well. Overall, I think the important thing, and I know David's mentioned this a couple times, but the warehouse, the big firms, the wirehouse firms, they're losing financial consultants. Registered independent advisors, RIAs, are the hot things. They're the ones that are buying all those ETFs. They're setting up their own shops out there. This is an attempt that Morgan Stanley to get a new platform for wealth managers and retail banking because they're losing people. It's very simple here. And remember, that's corporate stock buyback business. They bought Solium. That was Morgan Stanley. All of these people here that do IPOs every day, every time I see them, they're concerned about the stock that they've been getting as employees and how do they manage that stock. That's what Solium does. They manage all of that money for those newly enriched people from IPOs, hoping long term they're going to be big clients. So that's a very big growing business, that corporate stock plan business that Morgan Stanley's got, and that's going to be a big help owning E-Trade. So right now we're down 52 points in the Dow. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. We'll see you in a little while. Bob Pisani. Let's get to the bond pits as well on the heels of that barn burner of a Philly Fed number. Rick Santelli's at the CME. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought we'd throw out a chart. I normally keep a 20-year database of all the major economic data points. And if you look at a 20-year chart of the Philly Fed, what you'll notice is today's 36.7 is only second to February of 2017's 39.7. Other than that, you're not going to find any higher levels on that entire chart. It was indeed a barn burner. Let's look at a three-day chart of 10s. We're making new intraday lows for the week. Open it up month to date. We're still closing at the lowest levels since early February. No bounce to the ounce, whether it was hot PPI yesterday, whether it was strong Philly Fed today, or housing starts and permits. Really, they seem impervious rates to moving higher. And it makes sense because the rest of the globe is just enamored with both our dollar because they have to pay off debt and dividends in dollars and our positive interest rates. If you look at a three-day of the aforementioned dollar, I have a lot of cool statistics. It may be the 12th to 14th sessions higher. It's got a nice bid to it now, although it's drifting just a little bit. And also remember, we're getting very close to 100. We haven't closed above 100 since basically tax day 2017. And it isn't only against the euro because the euro is like 58% of the dollar index. Look at a three-day of the dollar yen. Dollar now at a 10-month high. Look at a three-day of the pound versus dollar. The pound is basically at a three-month low. The dollar is on fire. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. When we come back, the deal of the day, we'll talk to Morgan Stanley Chairman and CEO James Gorman about his company buying E-Trade for $13 billion in stock. Be sure to check out our podcast as well. You can listen to the Opening Bell Hour or Squawk on the Street wherever you listen to podcasts. Dow's down 51, S&P down almost 5. Don't go anywhere. Take a look at some S&P laggards this morning. Viacom now down 17% and change. Got Hormel in there on news as well. Morgan Stanley on that deal of the day. We will get stopped trading with Jim in a moment. Dow's now down 11. It's time for Cramer and Stop Trading.
Boston Beer truly has a problem. It's the demand for Truly, and they have to lean in. They have to try to get as much business as they have, particularly right now because Bud Light Seltzer has been launched on the Super Bowl. So they're getting hurt because they have too much demand. High quality problem. I would bet with them, not against them. I think they'll figure this out. I think good opportunity.
Matt, seltzer up 226% last year.
I mean, Truly's, look, the younger people love Truly, and White Claw lost a lot of share to Bud, but Truly hasn't. It's really interesting. They really, people distinguish, young people distinguish between the two. Young people are hurting the earth a lot more quickly than we thought, James Gorman. Well, what can I say? This is a great company that's done right, and they just want to own the category, and it's going to be hard. Remember, Corona's coming out with seltzer any day now. And David will actually have a seltzer and a Domino's pizza at your joint.
Really?
Yeah, you call Domino's, or you can use it PC. I'll stop by and get some seltzer. It's a kind of a, it's got some liquor
in it. I don't like
it.
Bubbles, and I don't want Domino's.
I have Rich Allison on tonight. Congratulations to him. A lot of people doubted him, and I think that the doubters are in pain today. There's only one short that worked today.
Oh, well, Six Flags was in there, too.
That's true, but Six Flags was
bad. We'll see you tonight, Jim, 6 p.m.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.